turn to Revelation, I'm getting out of sequence here. And I'd like you to turn, and as you do so, have this in mind. You turn to the very last chapter of the Word of God, Revelation. Last book, yes, but last chapter. And as we do, we're reminded all the more of the faithfulness of God, and that we see when things wind up, the main thrust of the whatever here is to understand, to affirm, to grasp, to acknowledge that God, you know, Jesus Christ, as we sing at the close of our service, yesterday, today, forever, the same. God is immutable, is the theological term. God does not change, and he will not change his doing. And in Revelation 22, we see that when the final chapter is written, we see that God is the same God and a consistent God and persistent too in doing what he wants, doing his will, right from, and we studied the early chapters of the Bible in Sunday school class. Starting there and coming on down through, you don't find places where God decides, let's see, I'm going to. I don't mean he doesn't adjust to different times and so on. There's examples of that. But without changing his basic nature and such like. Revelation chapter 22, but I begin at verse 6. And we'll cycle back to this. There's a lot could be said in Revelation 22, and I've chosen to cover this today, especially to make the point. And Don prayed it this morning and hit the nail on the head, that Revelation, the warning and the promise. The warning and the promise is present throughout Scripture. And it's made entirely evident in Revelation the 22, the closing chapter of all of Scripture. Beginning at verse 6, and I'm reading from the Message again. The angel said to me, meaning about the whole Revelation, that can be said, again, in two levels. The revelation that's contained in the apocalypse revelation, fancy word for revelation, the book of Revelation. But the entire scripture is a book, the entire library of Revelation. The angel said to me, these are dependable and accurate words, every one. The God and master of the spirits of the prophets sent his angel to show his servants what must take place, and soon, and tell them, yes, I'm on my way. Yes, I'm returning. The world has not seen the last of Jesus Christ. And that idea, if nothing else, should come through in the book of Revelation, as well as in plenty of other chapters, books of Old and New Testament. Tell my servants I'm coming. Tell them, yes, I'm on my way. Blessed be the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John. How many times has he said that right from the beginning of this book? Said, I, John, saw all these things with my own eyes. And we gave a number for the number of times when it's recorded just in these 22 chapters of Revelation alone. I saw. John saw, John was privy to this information where the curtains of heaven were pulled aside for God to share this revelation that we might be warned. And yet, in a sense, understand that there's promise there for those who hear, for those who see what John saw, for those who perceive, for those who understand. And immediately when I heard and saw, I fell on my face to worship at the feet of the angel who laid it all out before me. He objected. No, you don't. When this angel was bowed down to by John, he said, no, you don't. I'm a servant just like you and your companions. They aren't to be worshipped. I'm a servant just like you and your companions, the prophets who and all who keep the words of this book. And the Message translation says this, worship God, meaning not angels. The angel continued, don't steal the words, excuse me, steal them. Don't seal the words of the prophecy of this book. Don't put it away on a shelf. Time is just about up. Let evildoers do their worst. And we're seeing it. I cannot help but interject, and I'm sorry. But what's been written and reported about what has been revealed that the FBI found. And they knew it all along, but they chose a convenient time to let it out on one presidential candidate's shenanigans. Shameful, horrid, very likely to be voted into office by a people who don't care about the injustices and the committed. Let evildoers do their worst, and the dirty-minded go about in pollution. But let the righteous maintain a straight course, and the holy continue on in holiness. Yes, I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. I'm bringing my payroll with me. I'll pay all people in full for their life's work. I'm Alpha, Omega, I'm A to Z. I'm the first, I'm the final, I'm the beginning and conclusion. And remain the same all the way through, from beginning to end, and everything in between. How blessed are those who wash their robes. The tree of life is theirs for good, and they'll walk through the gates to the city. But outside for good are the filthy curs, sorcerers, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, all who love and live lies. And we're seeing it. Big time. I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify to those things, to these things for the churches. I'm the root and branch of David, the bright morning star. Come, say the Spirit and the bride. Whoever hears this, echo the same. Come. Is anyone thirsty? Come. All who will, come and drink. Drink freely of the water of life. Verse 18. I give fair warning to all who hear the words of the prophecy of this book. If you add to the words of this prophecy, God will add to your life the disasters written in this book. But it doesn't stop there. If you subtract from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will subtract from the tree of life and the holy city that are written in this book. He who testifies all these things says it again, I'm on my way, I'll be there soon. Yes, come, Master Jesus. The grace of the Master Jesus be with all of you. Amen. Would you repeat after me? Yes, come.
Yes, come.
Master Jesus.
Master Jesus.
The grace of the Master Jesus.
The grace of the Master Jesus.
Be with all of you.
Be with all of you.
Amen. I have a handout today. I didn't help Bill in Sunday school, but I'm going to ask for his help. No. He did a great job on his own. Well, you see when you get this paper that is taken directly from one source I use, and it's known as the Preacher's Outline Bible. And it covers this section here, although there's a lot more to it than what I'm sharing today. And we'll cycle back and probably see this again, number one, and more added to it, number two. But it says what I wanted to cover, in a sense, partway through Revelation. I don't know if we're midway, probably more than midway. But to get to the place to where we understand that in spite of all the, I'm going to say it again, all the all the negative, all the nasty, all the scariness, all the whatever. Warning, warning, warning. He warns because of love. He warns because there's something there to be looked forward to for those who will listen to him, who will hear him. I certainly like the title, The Great Message of Revelation. And it's put here, the heading of this, because, and again, the last chapter of the Bible, thank you very much, the last chapter of the Bible. Make clear that this is truly a great, great revelation God has revealed, a great message of revelation. I share not much more than to go through this with you, practically, basically, word for word. This passage, and I just read it, closes the great book, the great book. The great book of Revelation, and I can't help but add, the great book, period, the great library of Revelation. It's also the final words of the Word of God, because it's the last book of the Bible, the last chapter of the last book. Jesus Christ has sounded forth the great message of Revelation. He has revealed the end of time. And what's going to happen in the last days of human history. And some of that, you know, most of it scares us. Most of it scares most of us in a lot of ways. I'm sharing that we can have great quietness and confidence and security in knowing what he has in store for those who love him, those who follow him. The things he has shown have been astounding. They've caused us to stand in stark amazement at the glory and majesty of God, at his supreme intelligence and power. We've seen God's ability and power to take all the ungodliness and evil, and we're seeing it today. Excuse me if I keep saying that. When I say that, I'm saying we are seeing it today. And I'm not saying like has never been seen. We don't know about some of those evil, evil times in history. But we are seeing it today. You can work them all out for good. Believe that? Think back over what we've seen. So basically, you could have, I've seen plenty of summaries and outlines of the book of Revelation, but this is almost act by act. What you see in the book of Revelation. You can divide it into any number of sections and whatever subgroups or something, but you know, these 12 will cover it. Watch as we go. Number one, we saw God holding the great book of destiny in his hand. That's Revelation, the great book of destiny. And Jesus Christ walking over and taking that book of destiny and opening it to reveal the future of the world. Remember how John cried in a matter of saying it just because he thought at first glance there's no one worthy to take that book and open it until it was affirmed loud and clear, Jesus Christ is worthy. And he did it. Number two, we saw that the world is going to experience an increase in natural catastrophes. There have always been natural catastrophes. There's going to be an increase, also destructive, that whole areas of the world will be devastated. Number three, we saw that a great charismatic leader is to arise upon the world scene. To have charisma just means, you know, you have some whatever. And charismatic, like most any terms like that, can be used in a positive and in a negative way. It's not slamming charismatics in a religious definition of them. But a great charismatic leader had great charisma. And we have to watch for that. You have to discern whether when you're seeing charisma, whether you're seeing from good or evil. And Satan will certainly endow certain people with great charisma. And as he disguises himself as an angel of light, He can appear so good and pure and holy. But if we get behind all the whatever surface stuff and so on, we find anything but. Now, a great charismatic leader is to arise upon the world scene who will become so evil that he can only be described as a beast. That's what he's called in this revelation. He'll be the Antichrist, a man who will have the answers to peace and to some of the world's terrible problems. We've seen that, have we not? Meaning in our talk and walk together with this. We saw the world will turn to him because of his answers, and that he will actually bring peace and solve some of the massive problems, some. I like it every time we start with this, we saw, and I always think of what John saying, I saw, and because he saw, we can see, because he saw, he wrote it down, he passed it on, therefore, we can see. Am I at number four? No, number five. No. We saw that once the Antichrist has consolidated his power, number four, over a number of nations, he will institute a worldwide loyalty to the state, which might be called a state religion. And every citizen will be required to give his loyalty to the state as the great provider and protector of its citizens. We've seen that the Antichrist will turn from the good that he will do and launch the worst evil the world has ever seen. He will instigate the worst Holocaust ever feared by man, a Holocaust that will slaughter literally millions and millions of people, people of all religions who refuse to give their first loyalty and allegiance to the state. I wish we could all keep in mind, people, that as we understand America especially, but the world in general, very intolerant of Christians. It's interesting that they're intolerant of the Christian faith. They're not intolerant of religions. They're working toward a one world religion. Isn't that sort of ironic? We're not against having a state, in a sense, religion, or religion that covers the world in a matter of saying it. But we want it to be of our making, not this. And so this is all shot down and shut down. But it never will be totally shut down. Jesus is still in control there. But still, we move away from this religion because we can't do it, have it, tolerate it, stand it, but we still will move to the religion that we will enforce and talk about intolerant. We're not intolerant of that. We're just intolerant of the truth and the true religion. Number five, we saw that the government, society, and religion of the world will become so evil under the Antichrist that God will make the decision to go ahead and judge the ungodly and evil of the world and end world history. Number six, we saw the judgment of God that will fall upon the earth. And here we're talking about the great seal judgments, for one, that will bring famine and disease and will kill 1/4 of the earth's population. We said about that means, you know, that God's judgment, in a matter of saying it, at that point will be more limited than what it's going to be when we cycle around again, second cycle and third cycle. And that's exactly what there are, you remember. We saw the judgment of God that fell upon the great seal judgments. We saw, number seven, the great trumpet judgments, which now intensifies in the second cycle. Intensifies the judgment, the destruction, that will bring violent storms, volcanic eruptions, meteoric mass, astronomical happenings in space, all so devastating that 1/3 of the earth's vegetation, now it's less limited than what it was. We've gone from 1/4 on up to 1/3, second cycle from the first. Earth's vegetation sees water supply. It'll be destroyed. We also saw that there will be a plague of locust-like creatures that will torment all the ungodly and evil of the earth. You say, what's the big deal about the locust things? Any people that have ever known about or read about or lived through or walked through a devastation, you know, in a sense administered by these locusts and grasshoppers in a matter of saying it, although a little different critter from what were commonly known to us, will know how destructive they can be. They leave nothing behind. In this case, when it's happens here, it'll be in the areas in a matter of speaking in the whatever that God allows it to happen. It doesn't cover the earth right at that point. We also saw that there will be a plague of demonic military horsemen, which will kill 1/3 of the population of the earth. Excuse me. Number 8, we saw the end come in 7 bold judgments. Technically, in our place in Revelation, we're not quite to the conclusion of that. We're in that area right now. The bold judgments are the final judgments that end world history. We saw an ulcerous sore that will hit the human race. We also saw, or will see, the total devastation. The total pollution, excuse me, of the sea and fresh water supply of the earth and death of all sea life. We see the rays of the sun will hit the earth and with a scorching heat, and then pitch black darkness will strike the earth. And then we saw that the most massive military buildup and the largest army ever witnessed by the earth will be launched by the Antichrist. Go on immediately to number 9. We see that the Antichrist and his massive army will be destroyed in one moment's time at the last battle of human history. And so this great massive military buildup is known as what? Armageddon. Number 10, does this not follow? Is this not a sketch of the entire book? Those of you who are reading it, does it not follow the exact flow of that step by step, 1 through 12? Number 10, we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ will usher in the millennium, a period of 1,000 years, and he'll rule and reign upon the earth. And say, why in the earth? Why on the earth? Why in the world would God do? You know, what's the purpose of the millennium? There is a purpose. We'll look at that some more. Some of you could answer it right now. But don't. You don't steal my thunder, unless you want the job. Number 11. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ will destroy Satan and the present heaven and earth and judge the dead at the great white throne judgment of God. That judgment for those who have rebelled against, rejected over and over, over and over and over and over, Jesus Christ. After all warnings, after all cycles, after all revealing, absolutely insistent, and they will answer. Say it's not fair. Say it absolutely is. It's justice. It wouldn't be fair if there was no justice. No justice, no God. Number 12, finally, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ will create a new heaven and earth. And we see the new Jerusalem, the capital of the new heavens and earth, and the eternal rule and reign of believers with Jesus Christ. Now, you get to the end of all that, and what we have seen or yet will see comes to this. This is what we have seen. This is what we will see. These, follow now if you didn't follow any other line, are the highlights of what God has revealed to us in the great book of Revelation. Now, the point is this. What God has revealed is important to him. God reveals because he wants us to know what lies ahead so we can prepare ourselves. He has warned us of the terrible things that are coming upon the earth, but he has also given hope. I feel like, Don, the Lord led you to pray that, the warning and hope, the warning and hope. It's just one way to say just so much about everything to do with all this, what some would consider to be, let's just call it baloney. Or it's a bunch of baloney in a lot of ways. Whether scary or science fiction or foolishness or something, it's not. But revealing it all for our good and our benefit because of his love. He's also given hope to us. There is a better world coming, the most glorious of worlds, a perfect heaven and earth. The world has not seen the last of Jesus Christ, a world in which there will be no sorrow or tears or suffering or death, a world of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Most sources will tell you it took about a century for him to build that ark, and back in those days, people lived long enough to do that. And while he's building it, and the New Testament calls him a preacher of righteousness, he wasn't just building an ark. He was sharing the reason, the warning, and the hope. At the time of building the ark. And it could be said about many other people down through the ages. Doing a work for God. A work with God. For whatever purpose God had in store. And so many times, a lot of it was absolute, utter stupidity and sheer foolishness to the world. Like building an ark on dry land bigger than a couple of these buildings out here. In no water in sight, Noah. If we can think about that, can we also think about some things we do which appear utterly foolish to the world? But wisdom in God's economy. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We started our service right there. But a world in which there will be no tears, no sorrows, no suffering, no death, a world of righteousness and joy and life, God wants man to know the message of Revelation. A couple of thoughts yet. Not original with me. They come from Billy Graham. One of the favorite features of the Decision magazine is a print message of Billy Graham's that goes back many years. To think about how he's also often writing and so on, it seems like as if, just like scripture, can share something that was written, preached in the 70s and 80s and be so current that it's almost scary. That has to do with what this very message was about, and preached to someone in 1994, so that's more recent than some. But he says, and I excerpt some of his wonderful message here, the Bible says that certain things will never change. And he gives examples. But he also says, before getting to the nature of God not changing, has not changed, will not change, the laws of nature will not change, fixed facts of the universe will not change. You've heard the illustration many times. I will defy the law of gravity, and I can climb up here to the widow's watch. Did you know that's what they call, some of you youngsters know that's what they call that thing on the, you know, the lookout, so to speak. And defy and jump off. I defy the laws of gravity. It changes, and I don't believe in them anymore. I don't follow that. It's just as destructive to do the same foolishness, spiritually speaking. The nature of God has not changed. In all these centuries, he's still the same. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change. Did you know that was said in the scripture? Malachi 3:6. In James, we read that there is, I quote, no variation or shadow of turning. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Was that not in the hymn we sang, Great is thy faithfulness? Yes, scriptural. God is unchanging in holiness, number one. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. Our study in Revelation winds up exactly right there at that spot. A God of righteousness will prevail. Still continues. We just read it. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Did we not sing that this morning? Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Quoted directly. There is no impurity in God. There is no sin, and he will not have it. He will not tolerate it. He'll work with it to do something with someone who knows, and there's not a one who lives who doesn't have sin. Well, the first problem to surmount when you talk with a lot of people, like, you know, like, there is no evil in this old boy. A lot of people will say it. It's not true of one single one. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. No impurity, no sin. God is unchanging in judgment. The Bible says, the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. Now listen, we don't like that concept of judgment, like a whole lot of others. But it is in the Bible. I just quoted it. Direct from the authoritative, all-powerful Word of God. And it's from 1 Samuel 2:10. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, the same God who wrote all the other things, and especially the things we really like to take from the Bible and affirm, also said the things we don't like. And one's as true as the other, and one's to be as accepted as the other. One's to be dealt with as much as the other. One's to be loved and appreciated and affirmed as much as the other. All the way through the Bible, we read about judgment. Men and women will stand before God and give an account, not only of the things they've done, but also of the things that they thought of the intents of their hearts. So many people say that who are Christians. In one sense, they are misquoting and misunderstanding. It's not Christians who will stand to give an account of every word and every action. Jesus Christ has covered that, and his blood does it. That is for those who will be outside of Christ. One of the most misquoted verses in all of Scripture. Thirdly, God is unchanging in his love. He demonstrates his own love toward us. He knows all about us. And God says, I love you, I will forgive you, I will change your life, I will change the direction of your life. The Word of God. The Bible has not changed, and it will not. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of our God stands forever. Prophet Isaiah chapter 40. And the psalmist, in the longest chapter in Scripture, remember, is nothing but a song of praise for the revelation, the Word of God, in totality. The longest chapter in Scripture. We've said that so many times, but there's a verse in there that says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heavens, in heaven. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, the first thing he said, in particular this case to the woman, did God really say? We keep bringing that up over and over and over again. Do we know what a common practice it is, whether it's worded that way or not? But the teachings of the authoritative, infallible, inspired Word of God. God really said that. Scripture is God's revealed word. This is God's message to us. This is God's revelation to us. I believe it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when we read it, when we study it, we're reading what God wants us to know. Billy Graham. Human nature has not changed. What is this, number 5? I don't have them numbered exactly that way. Prophet Jeremiah. He said, the heart, same today. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? Quoted in more places in the Bible than that one, or referenced. And the other things have taken place many times. The things we think are so horrid today and so horrible, so terrible. There are things like that happened in Babylon, at Babel. Noah's time. Happened in Egypt, happened in Rome. And although we're shocked, it's people acting like people. And human nature will always be human nature. And that's a fallen human nature, departed from God. God's moral law has not changed. The way of salvation has not changed. Nor is there any other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12, the early preaching of the apostles. We may be like many other people. We may attend church, maybe been baptized, maybe confirmed, maybe dedicated to the church, and perhaps involved our whole lives, but not be certain about our relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. I know I say it many times, but this apply is sort of a test for yourself as well as listening to others. So many will say, the church, the church, the church, the church. I was carried into that church, and they'll carry me out, and I did this in the church, and I always was faithful to the church, and I did this for the church, and I gave my money to the church, and you know, the church this and the church that, and they cannot say the name of Jesus Christ in reference to a personal experience of salvation with him. I've heard some go on like that for years and years and years. For whatever it's worth, God will never change. Now this wraps it up. He's always been the same. He'll always be the same. But we're part of a human race that is created in his image, made our departure from him, and as long as we're basically going away from him, we need to repent, and that says, turn back. Turn around. Do a 180. Make a serious, intentional, that's like saying, now he's a holy God, and I'm a sinful being, he'll never change. I've changed in a matter of saying it from what my innocence of birth and childhood, and I need to change. He won't, but I need to. And that's what we do about our walk with him and a God that won't change. And he won't change to allow us to have, you know, our self-made religion and say, you know, God, I like it this way, but I don't like something else. I won't have it, whatever that might be. And there's lots of things in the Bible. And God, I think, will never stop saying, I believe I can speak for God, and I believe you know very well that that's fair enough to say, God's not going to change his mind. And he's not going to say, all right, you know, let's change the true nature and character of marriage. Plug in anything you want. You can plug in anything you want. We don't know whether we have tomorrow ahead of us. We don't know what a day will bring. That's the reason the scripture says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Would you turn with me in the hymnal to number 463? Remembering, we don't know what a day will bring. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Thank you, Father, that your presence goes before us. There's not a thing comes into our lives that you don't allow. Not a thing we do that surprises you. Not a thing we do or commit that cannot be forgiven by you as long as we come and ask, Lord, please forgive. Lord, please continue to guide and keep. We pray that for every person here in this room, many beyond these walls, of our loved ones, our friends, our acquaintances, that, Lord, you'd be near to those who don't know you and don't believe, that you would just keep drawing them somehow. For those who do know you and still fall and fail, Lord, that you'd just pick us up, help us to go on. Know that we cannot do it in our own power. We cannot live life. We cannot face the future. We cannot journey through this evil world without your help and presence and guidance. The infilling of your Spirit, we ask, Lord, that it would be ours, only because of your goodness, your righteousness, and your provision. We ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. And now, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same.
Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same.
But Jesus never, glory to his name.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the indwelling presence and power and guidance of the Holy Spirit be with you all.